When it comes to the great social issues of our time, is Christianity relevant? Tens of millions of people have left mainstream churches over the past few decades. Many young people find traditional Christianity's approach to everyday issues, especially issues like sexuality, euthanasia, and abortion, to be irrelevant at best, or even oppressive and mean-spirited. Is Christianity doomed to join the wasteland of meaningless philosophies? These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Can Christianity regain relevancy? Or is it doomed to pass into U.S. history and be replaced by postmodern secularism? We're going to tackle some very hard questions today. It's an important program. But if Christianity is going to regain relevancy in the 21st century, then these questions are going to have to be asked, and in all honesty, they have to be answered. We're joined in our Good News studio outside Cincinnati, Ohio, with author and pastor Larry Greider, and a theology teacher who has been on the program before, Dr. Ralph Levy. I know both of you have busy schedules. We appreciate both of you being with us today.
Pleasure being here, Gary.
It's good to be back on the program again.
You know, our society faces some very critical issues that really over the next few decades are going to determine the future of this country. I think many people are mentally and emotionally sort of numbed by the endless debate on talk radio, on television, and the print media concerning these issues. And I think one of the major problems is a majority of people in the United States used to find a sense of stability in traditional Christian values. And that's not so for many people today. And is that the core, maybe, of the cultural war that our country is going through?
Yes, very much. Matter of fact, the definition of postmodernism, which needs to be understood, is really quite striking. It basically states that man cannot know anything absolutely. We have only limited knowledge. What we call reality or truth is only an individual's or community's interpretation of what exists. Each interpretation can be just as good as another, although conflicting, because each interpretation satisfies the felt needs of that person or community. Thus, man constructs truth rather than discovers it. And there is no objective good or evil.
You know, Larry, I think, and you hit on something there, it's the felt needs. I think postmodern secularism is based so much on feelings, emotions.
Absolutely. That's why it's very difficult to try to address that with people who don't want a cognitive explanation of what is true or what is right.
You know, Dr. Levy, what effect, and you would be the one really to answer this, what effect has postmodernism had on Christian theology in this country?
I think, Gary, when you look at the way theology has been impacted, you see that things that were taken to be firm and absolute in Christian theology have now been deconstructed. And in thinking about this particular matter, I went back to a time when I was working on my PhD and had to take some classes at a very highly regarded Protestant seminary in the southern part of this country, very well known, and found an interesting experience because I discovered at that point how much confusion there was on things that the scriptures, areas where the scriptures speak in terms of absolutes. For example, homosexuality, and a very famous professor at this particular university was involved in publishing books which basically deconstructed what the scriptures say on this subject. Scriptures are very clear.
So obviously then the postmodern secularism has been in the seminary for a long time.
Oh yes, indeed. And I think it's tied together with the current of critical thinking that came into theology over a century ago. But when those two come together, as one of these professors at this particular university put it to me, I'll never forget, he said, they come in knowing what they believe and they go out not knowing what they believe.
Wow, wow. Well, let's face it. For many young people today, and I really want to zero in on how postmodern secularism has affected young people. For many today, they see Christianity as irrelevant. They see it as judgmental. Some of them even see it as evil, as is taught in some universities. What I want to do is present some of the postmodern humanistic arguments against Christianity, and then let's sit and discuss this and see, is it relevant? Okay, so first question, I'm playing devil's advocate here a little bit. Look at the history of Christianity. Jesus preached love, yet many Christians have propagated racism, sexism, homophobia, the Crusades, religious wars. Why should I trust Christians? Now, how do you respond to that, Larry?
Well, the problem of trust is very real and often difficult to combat, since the history of man has clear references to Christian wars and schisms and scandals. However, Christ clearly stated that many would say, "Lord, Lord," and not do the things which he said. With over, 1,500 different groups calling themselves Christians, it is hard to know who to trust if you are following a man. Each individual should read the Bible for himself and discover the clear message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Christ said, "Bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you."
Ralph?
If Christians are faithful to what they teach, what is taught, and what they believe, then they're going to be trustworthy people. The fact of the matter is some people don't live up to what they espouse. But there are Christians who are trustworthy. They don't believe in murder. They reject false witness, lying. They don't have to swear when they go into a court of law. And that's a standard that Christ holds Christians to.
So I guess it's safe to say that much of what we see as Christianity today really isn't what Jesus taught.
Yes, indeed. I think a lot of people in our society today wear Christianity like a badge or like a bumper sticker, but it doesn't go more than skin deep with an awful lot of people. And this is probably the reason why so many postmoderns and humanists then say, "I don't trust them." If they really lived according to what Christ said, they would be trustworthy.
Now, here's a second common accusation that is made by humanists against Christians, and that is that Christians are intolerant. Now, how do you respond to that?
People usually want to be accepted for their choices, no matter that their choices might be harmful to themselves or others. Our great Creator God does want mankind made in His image to have a profitable life now and forever. To that end, God has revealed truths that help man live in harmony with creation and each other. Christians should want to see his brother have a good life. I think the loudest arguments that mankind have today is that they want to do things that are forbidden in the Scriptures. God created man to marry a woman. Without this arrangement, just think about it, humanity would cease to exist.
Ralph, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I agree with what Gary has to say. There are, in the Scriptures, absolutes that are defined. And when people espouse absolutes in our modern world, which is very relative in its approach to life, other people get uncomfortable. The Scriptures define sin. Somebody goes around saying, "In a text that I believe in, there's a definition of sin." Others are made to feel discomforted because of that. But you can't get around the fact that the Scriptures do, in fact, provide a definition for sin.
Okay, absolutes, that's a whole other question. And we want to talk about that. We'll be back right after this.
Jesus Christ promised almost 2,000 years ago, "I will build my church." And he also promised that his church would never die out, promising that the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. What happened to the church Jesus built? The church had a powerful beginning, and today millions of people profess Christianity. They claim to be members of the church Jesus founded. Can we know whether Christianity's bewildering variety of denominations, customs, and teachings faithfully represents those of Jesus Christ? In our free booklet, The Church Jesus Built, we examine the fruits Jesus and his apostles said would identify his church. You will learn, not from human tradition or opinion, but directly from God's Word, how you can identify the Church of God. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Church Jesus Built. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. 866-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We're back with Dr. Ralph Levy and Larry Greider discussing the difficult questions and issues Christianity must deal with to remain relevant in today's society. In the last segment, we talked about the accusation that Christianity promotes intolerance, which leads us to another argument about the concept of absolute truth. How do Christians respond to the assertion that what is true for you may not be true for me?
Well, Gary, truth is truth. What is true is true. It's often our perception of truth that is an error. Just think about it. If there is no creator, life giver, sustainer, and we are all on our own, it would be anybody's guess as to what life is all about. This argument, of course, has been around since the beginning of time. But Christianity teaches that there is a purpose for your life, and this is explained clearly in the pages of the Bible. Matthew 6, verse 31 says, "Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you."
Ralph?
Yes, when we talk about these questions of truth, we really get down to fundamentals pretty quickly, don't we?
Yes.
Because the Bible, Jesus Christ himself made a very strong statement in John chapter 17, verse 17, in praying to his Father shortly before his crucifixion. He said to the Father, "Your word is truth." So we have this strong claim again, and people who wish to test it have to find some method to test whether the claim that the scriptures contain truth is in fact a true claim. And it can't be just feelings and emotions.
Okay, now you really hit on something important here, because you said the Bible makes claims about absolute truth. But approaching this now from a humanistic viewpoint, isn't that arrogant to say that there's universal truth that everybody has to... Because once you say there's universal truth, then you're saying that has to be imposed. Everybody has to accept that. So doesn't that seem arrogant?
Well, isn't it also rather arrogant to say there is no truth if you're making an absolute of the fact there are no absolutes? So, I mean, at some point, this circle has to be broken, and there has to be some clear value, or else we couldn't sustain the life on this planet. When Christ said in John 14, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," he was actually teaching us that there is a plan and a purpose for mankind.
Ralph?
People have different starting points, don't they? Humanists start with themselves, and humanists sometimes develop their ideas very, very clearly and very explicitly. What they say is, what's inside of human beings, if you can bring it out, you solve all the problems. And yet Christians make a much different claim. Their starting point is, God is the starting point, and he can solve the problems. Christians assert that God was in the beginning, not man, and that he's the one who's free to define right and wrong for his creation, and if you test it out, it'll work.
You know, it's interesting. I think many Christians can fall into that trap and not even know it by simply stating Jesus is in my heart, so therefore what I believe is truth, and they're actually falling into the same trap.
Yes, I think so.
Now, this brings us to another point, and that is every human being struggles, of course, with the question of who I am and therefore the development of self. Every person goes through a lifetime developing who they are, who they are as a person. What right does a Christian have to basically invalidate a person's sense of worth and sense of value in who they are? Because if Christianity says there's absolute values, there's absolute behavioral norms that everybody has to adhere to, and someone disagrees with that, then it's attacking that person's self-identity. What right does Christianity have to do that? Ralph?
Well, Christians make this strong claim again. We keep coming back to the claims that Christians make on the basis of the scriptures that we see that God has given us. And Christians say, in effect, that it's possible to adopt and reflect the thinking of the Creator himself. And he is the Creator. He's the one who has given us guidelines and norms for the way we live. And that, in fact, it's not Christians, but it's our Creator, including the Creator of the humanists and the postmoderns, who invalidates certain identities and declares them to be against his will. And so if Christians reflect that thinking, then they're going to say certain practices are not within the Christian way of life, since God himself disapproves.
Larry?
Well, this mantra of the postmodern thinking that there are no absolutes really doesn't make a bit of sense if we turn to the laws of science. We use science every day of our lives to conduct our business and to just deal with the technologies we've grown accustomed to. We assume the sun will come up in the morning and that if it would drift too close to the sun, we'd be scorched or fade away and turn into a big ice ball. We expect airplanes to lift off the ground and safely return due to the laws of aerodynamics. Isn't it logical to also believe that there are laws that govern society and relationships? Now, the Bible reveals two basic ways, the way of give and the way of get. If everybody only looked out for themselves, what kind of a world would that be? Actually, the postmodern thinkers have made the best arguments for the need for absolutes and order if there is to be any peace.
We're up against a break, but we have a lot of more issues we need to deal with. So we'll be back with more vital questions for Christians to answer if they're going to be relevant right after this.
Jesus Christ promised almost 2,000 years ago, "I will build my church." And he also promised that his church would never die out, promising that the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. What happened to the church Jesus built? In our free booklet, The Church Jesus Built, we examine the fruits Jesus and his apostles said would identify his church. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Church Jesus Built. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News behind the headlines.
Welcome back. Today we're dealing with the relevancy of Christianity in postmodern society. It's obvious that we're not going to get through everything we want to cover today, so I'm going to ask both Larry and Ralph if you'll join us next week to continue this discussion, and I know you'll be here.
Sure, happy to. Yes.
So be sure, by the way, don't miss next week's program. Now, as we go through these questions, it's important for us to acknowledge their importance and legitimacy. These are legitimate questions for people to ask Christians. I mean, if the Bible is truly a book inspired by God, then it should contain answers to life's most important questions. So that's what we're doing here today, looking at life's important questions in light of the Bible. Okay, how do you respond to this? Isn't the way you see the world and interpret the Bible completely dependent on your community and place of birth, Ralph?
No, not completely dependent. In fact, this is one of the questions that we cover from time to time at our Bible Center here in Milford, Ohio. Now, of course, the Bible scriptures are written in a historical and cultural setting, and it's different between our historical and cultural setting. There is some distance. But the interesting thing is that there are absolutes. There are things that were set down as being applicable in every time and in every place. And Larry's really the expert on this, but when you look at the founding of this particular nation, the founding fathers, they recognized that. And they saw their own experience in founding this nation as having tremendous parallels going back to ancient Israel and the coming out of Egypt. And some of the law of this nation was, in fact, founded on biblical law. Larry's the man who understands this.
Of course, you've written a book on this subject, so.
Well, yes, I have, Gary. And there's a tremendous amount of literature out there that sadly has been expunged from current history books. People want to revere their idols from the past, the founding fathers, but they don't want to listen to what they had to say. In this country, Christianity has been a vital part of our lives, and our founding fathers were very religious people who did acknowledge that God was the benefactor of the wealth and blessings that we enjoy today. The problem, as I see it, is that people have forgotten their heritage and have not read or studied what the Bible says. It is this void in this void that television and sound bites have replaced sound knowledge. If everything is permissible, we would have anarchy and rebellion at every level. If there is no right or wrong, how could you have any type of community? We need to get back to those values that made this country great.
Okay, but now here's another legitimate question. The Bible was written over a 1,500-year period, even if you accept the Bible as being authentic. And the last book was written almost 2,000 years ago. So how in the world can that be relevant for us today? Ralph?
Yes, it is an old book in terms of when it was written, but it's a very modern book in terms of its application. For one thing, a huge amount of the Bible, one quarter to one third, is prophetic, and much of it applies to our days, the time shortly before the return of Jesus Christ. But the other aspect of this is that the task of changing human nature in such a way that human beings can live together in peace is a timeless task. And if Christians really take that on, then they're going to take on the task of changing human nature with the help of Almighty God so that a Christian community can be established on this earth. Human nature doesn't change.
Which means that the Bible is basically about us and human problems and the only solutions to human problems, right? Larry?
Absolutely. Truth is truth no matter when it was written or how old it is perceived to be. Solomon in the Old Testament said there is nothing new under the sun. If the Bible is true, and I believe it to be, then it will be true 1,000 years from today.
And so it is relevant. It does have solutions to the problems everybody faces on a day-to-day basis. Now, there are professors in numerous university classrooms that argue that the Bible was written by a sort of a patriarchal, ethnocentric people, and it's biased. Ralph, how do you respond to that this is a biased book?
Interesting question, because it takes us back to the question that you asked earlier in the program about what's going on. We talked about what's going on in some of the seminaries, and you're right. There are professors who will use this viewpoint to neutralize the impact of the Bible in terms of its directives. But there's a very strong statement, it's very well known, in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, that tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and change and reproof and so on. And when you come to understand who God is, he's not a human being, so he has no sexual identity. He isn't from a particular nationality, has no socioeconomic class. He has no sense of rank. So God stands above that and gives his mandates and his revelation to all of humanity.
God is God and God is unique.
Indeed.
We tend to put on him ourselves, and of course he's not human. Larry?
Well, the Bible was written for all of mankind. In the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 26, it clearly says, "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." So God clearly knew that all of mankind came from the same stock, has the same potential, the same destiny. And the same laws are for all of mankind. It's just sad that many people have turned away from that one place where those laws are clearly enunciated for mankind to live by.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, but there's obviously a lot of things we need to talk about in the questions that confront Christians today. So I'm going to ask both of you to be with us next week.
Be looking forward to it. Yes,
me too.
If you have a question you'd like to present to one of our guests here on Good News Radio, simply drop us a line at gnradio@ucg.org, and we'll ask both of them to come back sometime and answer your questions. That's gnradio@ucg.org. If you would like to hear Good News Radio programs online, just type ucg.org in the search box and click on the Good News Radio icon when the page comes up. All the programs are archived and available for you to listen to online. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, well, as always, it's up to you. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Jesus Christ promised almost 2,000 years ago, "I will build my church." And he also promised that his church would never die out, promising that the gates of the grave shall not prevail against it. What happened to the church Jesus built? The church had a powerful beginning, and today millions of people profess Christianity, They claim to be members of the church Jesus founded. Can we know whether Christianity's bewildering variety of denominations, customs, and teachings faithfully represents those of Jesus Christ? In our free booklet, The Church Jesus Built, we examine the fruits Jesus and his apostles said would identify his church. You will learn, not from human tradition or opinion, but directly from God's Word, how you can identify the Church of God. Call 1-800-966-9232 for your free copy of The Church Jesus Built. That's 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.